Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. This is Dr. Gary Penn, and I know it's been a while since I have done a podcast, but I am happy to put myself out there again, and happy 2017. So with the new year comes a new podcast. Hopefully it's going to be more than once a year. Certainly, that is my intention. So, title of this podcast is I Finally Heard My Mother Fart, which is, I don't know, just sounds kind of funny and interesting. And why wouldn't Dr. Gary Penn put that as the title of his podcast? Well, because it is actually true. I finally, late last year, I heard my mother fart. My mother is 90 years old, and as you can imagine, as the years go by and the decades go by, we just become more frail and more vulnerable, and in a lot of ways, more childlike, a lot of ways, more real, hopefully, right? But it depends what kind of experiences you've had as a child and certainly as a parent. I think things have changed certainly in my lifetime as far as what we think about as parents. I'm old enough to kind of, I'm someone who grew up in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, when you're of that age, you kind of, at least I had a situation where, and this is not just something about the time that this happened, but this is more about my particular circumstance, my particular family. Look, we all know that psychologists are the walking wounded. What makes us kind of cool about that is that we, at least a lot of us or some of us, have dedicated ourselves to figuring stuff out, you know, to figuring our issues out and working through them and becoming more conscious and more real. It isn't that psychologists have more problems than other people. It's just that I think that the psychologist or the therapist that have had issues, a lot of us have said, you know, let me work on this. And then we found it interesting and we wanted to kind of make it a lifelong journey for us and a lifelong passion and a way to help other people and so forth. But anyway, I grew up in a family of denial. I'll give you a really good example is my parents would not tell me how old they were. Now, check that one out. That's kind of a new one. That's kind of an interesting thing where your parents don't tell you how old they are. Now, I didn't know how old my parents were until I was probably in my 20s. Where I just went into my mother's purse and I found her wallet and there was her driver's license. Aha! I knew. And it was some weird thing where they didn't want us to know how old they were. Like it was some kind of secret. Either they were ashamed of it. They were afraid of it. They weren't older parents. So they didn't have, you know, their children in their 40s or something, but just, this is just, you know, emblematic of something like, we're not going to tell you how old we are. And it was iconic. They were both iconic. What I mean by that is that they were just mannequins, and you could just put a title on them, mom or dad. I don't know if you've had those, and I don't know for those of you who are parents if that's how you understand your relationship with your children. Dad was just someone that went to work and came home about 7 o'clock, and there was dinner, right? Mom was a stay-at-home mother. Angry in a bad marriage, angry, insecure. She had her history of tough parents, a tough family. So she was just kind of walking through life, trying to make things okay, trying to like get through a day. trying to find some little sense of joy. So mom was just kind of doing her thing. She had children. She had a lot of children. She was just trying to kind of manage the home, right? A lot of things to do, groceries to shop, you know, to shop for, dinner to make, and just kind of keeping all the leaks plugged up and making sure everything was okay. Dad would go to work, come home at 7, and we'd have dinner. And dinner, there'd be all us children around the table, and dinner really was eating food. It was just eating food. My mother would talk about how much everything cost at the supermarket. So did you know that cucumbers were 35 cents a pound? And meat that we was this expensive? Because she was always trying to justify the money spent and trying to get more, because that was always an issue, even though we had money. It was all this kind of thing where people were born, I guess, with a psychology of poverty, even though they have money, very tight. But it was more about that. And it was just a conversation of nothing. It wasn't a conversation of what they were thinking. It wasn't a conversation of politics. It wasn't a conversation of, tell me about your day, son or daughter. Tell me about what you were going through. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was your age. Let me talk to you about my day. Let me tell you about the challenges of my life. None of that. Everything in the home, everything with the parents, was all about water skiing, right? All about on the surface. Nothing. No one was scuba diving. No one. No one was scuba diving. No one was telling. I didn't know, right? I didn't know what my parents' relationships were with their mothers and fathers. No one told me. This is what my father was like, or this is what my mother was like, or this is what I struggled with. I didn't know what their hobbies were as children. I had no idea who my mother's first crush was, or what it was like for her, or who her favorite teacher was, or I didn't know of any embarrassing moments that she had. I didn't know any embarrassing moments my father had. Never knew about his childhood, never knew about his relationship with his siblings. There was no communication about that, nothing. Literally a desert. I mean, not one conversation about it. The parents were iconic. Just iconic. And, you know, you can imagine, I mean, some of you experienced this. I don't know, hopefully not a lot of you had. Had this kind of experience. I mean, we've all had our own things that we deal with. And, you know, listen, it wasn't like as a child I was just suffering and crying at the dinner table and saying, please tell me what it was like when you were 7. You know, I didn't have that experience because it was just normal, right? This was when you grow up, you know, and you grow up in Syria, you just normality is just having bombs exploding all around you, right? So it's just normal. It isn't like something like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, there's gambling at the casino. It was just normal things that we went through. Normal things that I went through. So it wasn't in a way this kind of awful, horrid experience where you're just feeling tortured and abused or anything like that. It was just, this was normal. This was a normal way of communicating in my home, the Penn household. And I see it a lot of times with, and even today with, maybe not to this extent, but, you know, with the people that I work with in my, you know, who come to my office and they want to talk about their families and all of, and, you know, and talk about how to, you know, parenting, how to be real with people, how to be expressive with people. But I'm here to say that it's very, very difficult when you have iconic parents. Because what does a child connect with? you're just kind of alone, even though you may be surrounded by all these people. You're just alone. And in your own world, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to feel or what to think. And these parents are not people. They're just titles. I remember one time when I was a boy, my father farted, this gigantic fart, right? And in the kitchen, I was probably maybe 10 or 11. And he just farted. And that was it. So I heard my father fart. But he just farted. He didn't laugh. He didn't make a joke. He didn't go, oh my God, I must have had something, you know, for breakfast or lunch. Or boy, that's a stinker or anything. He just, and the kids just looked at each other and didn't know what to do because it was kind of funny, you know, when you think about it. But we didn't do anything. We didn't crack a smile. We just did nothing. So there was this deadness in the home because my father was so jammed up, so jammed up that he did something that was, I think, pretty objectively funny or interesting or disgusting, however you want to look at it. Not an excuse. You say, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Wow, that was a big'em. No, nothing. Silence. Huge. If you think about it, just huge ways of understanding the world. I tell my patients who are parents, who tell me a lot of things that happened to them with their mothers, with their fathers. Of course, you know, I'm a psychologist. And when they have children, I say to them, I coach them, I encourage them, I implore them, tell your children everything. Tell them who you are as a person. Everything. Tell them everything. People come to me and they say how they were molested, how they were hit, how their mother favored their sister over them or brother over them, how their parents were alcoholics, how they were just critical, that they couldn't do anything right. I mean, you know, you understand, you have your stories about your parents and or someone died, and when your brother died, your parents just completely shut down, and what it was like for you. And people tell me, you know, it's one of the honors, one of the privileges of being a psychologist is you hear these things. You're invited in to someone's world. And they tell me about loves that were lost, about divorces, about, you know, how they got divorced and what it was like for them, or when their husband cheated or wife cheated or whatever it is. I tell them, tell your children everything. Become real to them. Become people to them. Now, I'm not saying that you put a 1,000-pound weight on a piece of wood that can only handle 15 pounds. I'm not saying that you go to your 5-year-old kid and say, well, you know, my father, you know, had sex with me when I was 7. And, you know, you don't need to do that. But I don't think you need to wait that long. You don't need to wait till your children are in their teens or late teens. I think you could say certain things appropriately. Of sometimes you get scared, and sometimes, you know, you could talk to your 7 or 8 year old and you say, yeah, when I was a kid and I struck out and I was playing baseball, my father yelled at me and it really made me feel unsure of myself and it really made me feel insecure. You could tell your 7-year-old that. And what does it do for the 7-year-old? Well, the 7-year-old says, oh, wow, at my mother or look at my father, who are these amazing people, you know, to children. Parents are gods, right? We're magical. We keep them safe and we know things and we're like alien life forms that would come down to the earth for us adults. Like, oh my God, look what you can do. So children look at their parents iconically anyway, naturally, like, oh, look at you. You're so amazing. You know things and you keep me safe. But when this powerful man or this powerful woman could say to their child, when I was a little girl, I was a little boy, and I did poorly, and my father yelled at me and screamed at me, it was really hard for me. I really, you know, I cried, or he yelled at me in front of my team, and I never wanted to play again, or I just became so half full of so much doubt. These are things where the child could say, I love my father so much. I admire my mother so much, but yet they are insecure just like I am. They are afraid just like me, so I can be afraid too. I can be insecure too, and it's okay. I don't have to hide it. I don't have to pretend I'm, you know, not afraid, or I don't have to sit here and think I have to be perfect, or I don't have to make fun of other people. I could just say, oh, I know what it's like. Yeah, I'm insecure too. I'm afraid as well. It makes us very real. It makes us human. It makes us human. Tell your parents everything. Everything. I mean, tell your children everything. Tell them who you are as a person. Again, not gratuitously, not just to lay everything. When you don't know, you know, when your kid's yelling at you and like when your teenager's acting out and say, listen, you remind me of my mother, and you start to cry and you use that as a weapon to shut them up. You say, I can't handle this. I had too much. Not in that way, not as a way to protect yourself, not as a way to hide behind, but as a way to say, this is, I am a real person. And when your child is starting, you know, a new project or a new business, you say, oh yeah, when I started my first business, I failed miserably. This is what I learned. Or my first marriage, I was really just a bad husband. I just didn't know how to love back then. You tell your children this. You make it okay. You make it real so they could look at you and they can exhale. They could say, ah, being, you know, a good person, being a terrific person, a great person, doesn't mean you're a perfect person. It means you're a real person. So let's get back to my mother. My mother turned 90 last year, in February. And she's way more frail. Well, I mean, way frail. She's very, very frail. I mean, she's fine. She lives. She lives in the house I grew up in all by herself. But she really shouldn't be. Anyway, I took her to, I think we had lunch together. I took her out to lunch. And I parked in front of the house where I grew up in. And I had to help her out of the car to help her into the house because she really can't make it by herself. And as she got out of the car, stood up, she farted. At last, right? She farted. She didn't even know she farted, right? My mother farted. Took her, well, my entire life for her to fart so I could hear it. I didn't say anything. But it was interesting, my reaction to that. She just seemed so human to me, so real. Just, oh, that's a person. She's old. She's going to die soon. And it took all these years not for her to tell me anything about her life and her first date, what it was like. Did she go to prom? To this moment I'm giving you this podcast, I have no idea if she went to prom and who took her to prom or if there was a prom. No idea. No idea what her relationship was like with her father or how she talked to him or what she did or her mother or what she felt like when her mother died. No idea. To this moment, never told me. When my mother died, I never knew my grandmother on her side, so she was relatively young. So my entire life, my mother never said what it was like to lose her mother, who she did love. But she never told me. I don't know. No idea. Nothing came out. Nothing. All kept in. All these stories. So she was just a mom, not really a person. So she farted last year. She farted, and I heard it. And it was a part of me that was just like, wow, it had to come to this. It had to come to her being 90 years old. 90 years old. And finally, a sense of realness, vulnerability, humanity came out. Finally. And it just felt so, I don't know what the word is, useless, senseless. What were both of them trying to do? Both very damaged people. My mom and my dad, both broken. But we know that the crime is never the problem. Whatever the crime is, insecurities, anger, humiliation, it's never that. It's the cover-up. It's the cover-up that makes it horrible. People trying not to be who they are. People trying to be a caricature of themselves. People trying to be a mannequin, untouchable. Right? No vulnerability at all. Instead of just being real human people. No. And so here she was, 90 years old, and my mother farted. Can you imagine? First time you hear that? Now, I'm not saying, listen, we know, you know and I know, that this is not something that is a hallmark of connection that you have to go home and fart in front of your children. But it was just metaphorical. It's just metaphorical of, I'm sure you could be an open and connecting person and not fart in front of your child, but to live in a home or to know someone your entire life and never to hear a fart is pretty interesting. But it was just emblematic that we need to tell people that we love of our shit, our stuff, our insecurities, our hurts, our joys. We need to tell them that. We need to connect with them. So tell your children everything. Ask your parents everything. You know, when your parents don't tell you things and you're not going to tell them things, that's just the way we become just like our parents. And you don't tell things, they don't talk to you, then you don't talk to them. Somehow you don't talk to your children. It's just what happened. Their parents probably never farted in front of them, literally or metaphorically. So we want to break the cycle. We want to break the cycle of what it's like. We want to break the cycle of not talking and not being real. It's yourself and with your children. If you do this, I think it's just going to be very, very real. I think if you get into a fight with your child, And can you imagine if your mother said, you know what? I'm sorry. I was so wrong here. You know, this happened because I was just so angry with you because you just reminded me of when I was a little girl and my father did this to me. And when you did this, I got so angry. Or your father said, God, you know, you didn't deserve that reaction. This is why I did this. And you imagine if your parents talked to you that way? Maybe they do. Maybe they did. And maybe that's just a blessing. Could you imagine if that would happen? And if you would bring context and dimensionality to the relationships with your children, your parents to you. So that's my message for you today. My first podcast, 2017, my first podcast in a few months. Be real. Be honest. Be open. Tell your children everything. For those of you who parents have told you nothing, talk to them about that. Say, why? I'm so anxious. I feel such a deficit in my life that I do not know you. And I've said this many times in many podcasts. I certainly say it in my work, that either we express or we depress. Instead of living a depressed life, let's live an expressive life, an open life, a real life, farts and all. Let's be out there in the world. Let's get rid of our shame, rid of our fear and our anger. Let's become real, honest, vulnerable humans. Okay, well, that's it for today. This is Dr. Gary Penn. Until next time, be well.